I'm Brandon Isle. I'm with BYU Idaho Radio, and Jennifer Ellis joins me on the phone. She's with a new committee called Take Back Idaho. Jennifer, thanks for joining me.
Oh, glad to be here.
You know, Jennifer, first of all, tell me a little bit about Take Back Idaho. What is this committee, and why did you start it?
So there's been a lot of us in the last few years that have seen a very divisive element become more and more vocal, get elected more in the state. And we think that we've gone away from really good policy decisions because of this divisive attitude. And we're seeing it reflected in bad policy that's being made in the Capitol. So we just wanted to see if we couldn't encourage people to elevate their natural curiosity, to look closer at candidates in the Republican primary and see who they are, see what they've done, and give people, would you say, a different view of the world than how the Idaho Freedom Foundation and the folks that they put up as candidates view Idaho.
Yeah, you mentioned the Idaho Freedom Foundation specifically, and this was formed, I want to say 2009-ish, and has kind of become a strong voice in Idaho. They say they're a think tank, and they don't specifically back any candidates, but they certainly have candidates that you can tell are aligned with their policies and issues. Why have you called the Freedom Foundation irresponsible, and what have they done specifically to get this type of response from you?
Well, I think that it's been over time that they became very active in policy positions, you know, from 2010 on, and they had an index. So they rank bills according to their views, which are, you know, very libertarian leaning, and I would argue that they don't want any government versus good government, which I think most Republicans in this state want. And as that kind of metastasized, if I can use that word, they begin to use that scoring system that they have as a hammer against Republicans that weren't toeing the mark, that weren't voting the way they wanted to. And so when you say that they don't support candidates, the Idaho Freedom Foundation itself does not, but their Idaho Freedom Action group does. And so they've set up a spot in this state that if you don't vote and score on their system, both their freedom index and their spending index, then you are going to draw a further right primary challenge. There's going to be a lot of money brought to bear against you. And so they've backed really good, solid, pragmatic Republicans into corners because of the machine that they bring to bear.
Have you had conversations with current legislators or recent legislators who have felt that?
Yes, I've worked with legislators for the last 20 years in my different leadership positions within the ag community. And they get so inundated with bills and ideas that they have a hard time, you know, would you say, looking at every one and getting down into the details. And so those kind of people like details, and when you're just being inundated with yelling from the far right side of the spectrum about how you can't vote on this, even as bills just come out of committee, it sets the tone that it's really hard to fight your way back from that because it's leveraged ahead of time. And so I think that that thought process has poisoned the committee process, the hearing processes, all of those things in Boise. And we've got to get back to where we can have good hearings, that both sides are represented, and that there hasn't already been a hammer leveraged by the Freedom Foundation of saying, you're going to vote this way, or we're going to run somebody against you. You're going to be called a rhino. You're going to be called a socialist. I mean, there's no elected Republicans in this state that are socialist rhinos.
There's so much rhetoric, surrounding these issues, and I think when the legislators went to their special session, if you can call it that, last August, we saw a lot of this bickering and this divisiveness, and really there wasn't a lot accomplished during that session. Was that kind of the last straw for you and those who are making up this committee, or what was it that kind of drove you to say, okay, now's the time, let's do this?
You know, I think it's been a long time coming, and that may well have been the catalyst, if you will. I think what we really want to do is encourage people's natural curiosity. Now, I think most people want to know the why in things. You know, why is it we think this way? Why is it that we would believe a position such as the Idaho Freedom Foundation has taken, saying that Idaho public schools are indoctrinating our children and that they're trying to defund Idaho public education? I think that people really need to take a few minutes, a little while, and look under the hood and see what these folks are really trying to do. Because I think we all have neighbors that are teachers, that are healthcare workers. And so when we villainize their professions the way the Freedom Foundation does, we're dividing our communities. And also, as Republicans, I thought we'd always believe that the best government is that closest to the people. And so you look at school boards, you look at health districts, you look at county commissions, and the Freedom Foundation is pushing toward trying to make that very partisan politics. And I think we want to look at what those outcomes, what is, you look down the road, what does that look like for Idaho to become so hyper-partisan that we can't sit down at tables and hash out our differences without somebody taking a massive hit that night in social media from the Freedom Foundation and their acolytes? Yeah. It doesn't generate good policy.
Yeah, you talk about their stance on public education. This is one of their big issues that they talk about a lot. Why would you say it's so dangerous for them to take this stance of, I mean, they would like government to get completely out of public education. Why is that dangerous?
Well, if you look at it from a rural school district point of view, and I land squarely there in two places, that if we, via the Freedom Foundation's vehicles, which we saw come to bear last year of trying to cut budgets based on the red herring issues that they, you know, the issue of the day, if you will, that they were trying to generate support around, the fallout from that is that Idaho teachers are looking for the exits. They're feeling like they are being devalued. Then when those budget cuts come down, those rural districts that are having to run levies to try and keep the doors open will fall further behind. And then the Freedom Foundation can point to that and say, look, these schools are so terrible that they'll never take the responsibility that because these schools are struggling is part and parcel of their policy positions and what they're driving in Boise. And let's just think about what it looks like in, say, a Caribou County that has pretty, you know, very few students compared to other districts. If the funding mechanism goes away there, there's really no way for charter schools, private schools, to pop up and have the ability to have a real school in those. They have a hard time getting together 9-man football teams in some of those little rural schools. And so I think we've got to really look carefully at the outcome of this rhetoric because it has real-world impacts. Go talk to teachers about how they feel about where they've been positioned in this state in the last few years because of the Freedom Foundation rhetoric.
Have you had some of these conversations with teachers and other constituents who may have been feeling some of this backlash from the Freedom Foundation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that social media has, you know, enhanced that, would you say, for the good or the bad, if you will. But social media has become a place where there is a whole lot of vitriol. And even though it may not be pointed at a specific teacher necessarily, it is pointed at their profession. And all the teachers that I know take great pride in how they handle their students, how they get them so that they're prepared to go on in the world and have a very wide worldview. And the Freedom Foundation is basically asking for or telling people what they're going to teach, when they're going to teach it, how they're going to do it, or they're going to go to Boise and take their funding.
Now, let's step back for a second. You're the president of the committee, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And there are several other people, former legislators and lawmakers and policymakers. Can you tell me a little bit about who else is on this committee?
Yes. So we have Bruce Newcomb, who is a former Speaker of the House. We have Benya Sirsa, who is a former Secretary of State. We have Jim Jones, who is AG. Boy, I couldn't get there. And then he went on to be the justice in the Supreme Court. Who am I missing there? We have Will Overgaard, who was a longtime superintendent in Idaho. Bob Geddes. Bob was pro tem in the Senate for years and years from over Caribou County way. We just have a lot of these folks who have been involved in high-level policy, understanding how, you know, the sausage gets made of you listen to everybody's ideas, you figure out where the best policy comes from for the most amount of people, you know, very pragmatic people. And they just have been pretty horrified about where the discourse and the policy has gone over the last few years.
Yeah, I think
so. I'm just really pleased to be working with them. And, you know, they have all of that experience to pull forward, and they still have a very good relationship with their spine.
and I think people will know
they're willing to stand up.
Right. I think people will recognize their names and may or may not trust them, depending on their policies. Jim Jones specifically has been writing a lot of letters to the editor in the Post Register. I know I read them at least once a week, I think, usually talking about the Idaho Freedom Foundation and some policies. And I know some of his writings are on your website. Can you tell me, what is your end goal? What does this committee hope to do?
We just really hope to give people an alternative message that has been missing in this state. So basically, the Freedom Foundation has controlled the narrative and the airways for quite a while on the Republican side of messaging. And so we just want to give people some information to put in their heads as they go into the primaries, to start and look from the top down of what this looks like, rather than just voting for an R and thinking that all R's are probably the same. They're not. There are huge differences. I mean, you can go look at some of the folks that are backed by the Freedom Foundation, and they are card-carrying, dues-paying members of the John Birch Society. You know, is that somebody that you want to represent you? They absolutely have every right to be part of one of those groups, but their ideology will be pulled into their policymaking. Are they members of a militia? You know, there's lots of things that you can look at that aren't going to be on a campaign website. And so it's about adding an educational piece to the 2022 primaries in Idaho.
Are you going to endorse specific candidates throughout Idaho?
You know, we don't know that yet. We haven't got that far. It's kind of going to be how the session shakes out, you know, and who and what files for what place.
Yeah. And the primary, I'm going to get my dates wrong, but I believe is in May. Is that right?
Yes, May of 2022.
Okay, so it's coming. The session will start in January, and they're meant to be done March, April, but as we saw last year, that may or may not happen.
Right, they're going to have a really busy session this year.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
I appreciate you reaching out from our own neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I mean, in Idaho, neighbors are all relative, right?
Yep.